From Montana for Montana, it's Voices of Montana. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and please contact me here for show suggestions or comments at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Couple of things we want to talk with our energy providers about. One of them is going to be the new White House policies regarding energy here in well, Montana, but around the country as well. But also, Northwestern Energy has just announced it's reached a settlement on a rate case involving thousands, really, of Montana residential business customers. Rates are going to go up slightly. So we'll talk about that. What's behind that? Northwestern Energy's president and CEO, Brian Bird, on the program today. Good morning, Brian. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Tom. Thanks so much.
I really appreciate you coming on today and talking this one over. Because we hear of rate changes and, you know, applications for it and different challenges. And this has got to go through the Public Service Commission. I think it was negotiated with the Public Service Commission. A lot of things to kind of understand here. But what is this rate increase or settlement case regarding?
Yeah, we filed both an electric and gas rate reviews last year. On what's called a 2023 test year. So we're already into 2025, and our costs from 23 are still being discussed.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get these things done. And we actually, starting in December, on the electric side of our business, rates actually came down because of a decision from a rebuttal, from an interim rate perspective. And so rates came down there. But ultimately, with the settlement for electric customers, it's a partial settlement, and we still need to work through some things on Yellowstone County plant and our supply tracker. But we have a partial settlement on the electric side, and that will result in just over a 4% increase on the average customer with that partial electric settlement. And assuming even with us getting what we're asking for from that partial settlement, it'd be just over 4%. On a monthly basis. And then on the gas side, we settled this some time ago, but we included it in the press release here. We have a full settlement there, and that bill's going up just under about $4.74. That's going up about 9% on the gas side. So $4.63 or 4.21% on the electric side. So you know, obviously not huge increases, but we understand there certainly are customers who any increase is tough to handle. And obviously in this inflationary period that we continue to see in the U.S., any increases. So we understand that, but also we've invested $1 billion that we're still not getting recovery of in our rates. And so we ultimately need to get recovery of that investment. And that's what this rate review is all about.
Yeah.
And inclusive of that is the Yellowstone County plant, just under $300 million of investment there.
And going back to 2023, I mean, I think that kind of surprises some people. But as I've been in this seat a little bit, I understand that yearly you guys can re-examine the rates based on the availability or what you had projected and then exactly, you know, what had turned out in that year. Is this part of that? And let's throw into all these people that were involved in this, you know, reaching this agreement.
Yeah, the parties that we agreed to, or we call the revenue requirement parties, they filed testimony associated with what should be the revenue requirement that we should receive and ultimately what that impacts the rates for customers. So think of the Montana Consumer Council representing customers, Montana Large Customer Group, think you know, a handful of very large customers in the state, the federal executive agencies, think of Maelstrom Air Force Base, and then Walmart. Walmart has 16 stores and quite a few employees in the state. So those are the parties that we settled with on both the gas and the partial settlement on the electric side.
And
back one thing, Tom, you mentioned 23, costs.
Mm-hmm.
Two things to point out there. You know, for 2023, it's not just our costs, but it's also our investment. We earn on our investment, but we don't earn on our costs, our operating costs, but we just want to get recovery of what those costs are. And as you might expect, costs go up over time. And so, again, we deal with what's called a historical test year. We're trying to just get capture our costs from 2023. And you can understand why you have to file rate cases so frequently, because in a rising cost environment, you're always behind. You're always catching up on getting a recovery of your costs.
And Brian Bertigan is with us here, president and CEO, previously chief financial officer, has been with Northwestern Energy since 2003, just knows a ton about this energy market. And it's been changing. I mean, we're transitioning in a lot of ways, too. And whether we're doing it wisely, I mean, that's we can certainly analyze that. Brian, talk about those constraints that you have. Now, you've mentioned it before, but I think it's important to re-educate people about a regulated utility in this regard. Talk about the challenges that you guys face in keeping electricity affordable for us, because, man, that is so vital for our prosperity and moving forward in this country.
Yeah, I think we have to balance reliability, affordability, and sustainability for our customers, but we also have to try to earn our authorized rate of return. And when you say that, we are given an authorized rate of return. It's been like 9.6%. But because of your having historical test years and the fact you have a rising cost environment, it's extremely hard to actually earn that return. We've been closer to 7% than what we're actually allowed to earn. And so that's why you need to come in more frequently for rate cases. So that's primarily the issue why we'd ultimately come in. I always tell people when you're investing capital, you like to get a return on your capital. If Fidelity called you up today and said, hey, I know you want to earn on the 100% you invested with us, but we're only going to let you earn on 80%, you wouldn't be very happy. That's how we look at it, too. We've invested $1 billion. We'd like to earn on that investment, and we can't until we go through an official rate case. Your corner gas station can raise their prices whenever they feel like it. We have to go through this process that takes years before we can actually raise our rates.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, and so it's hard to narrow that down to a paragraph or so that people can understand that. I mean, if I was to ask you, what do people need to know about this rate increase or almost any rate increase process that helps them understand both the company's side, but also, you know, the consumer side of things?
Well, I would put it in this context. The one thing that's always helpful for me to kind of get people's head around what the cost of electricity and gas is. For us, you know, the typical electric customer is approximately $100 a month, and that's typical. If you've got a hot tub or something, I'm talking about your typical customer, it's about $100 a month. And, you know, so, you know, do a little math on a monthly basis, that's $3 to $4. And then add gas, that's your kind of $2 to $3. So for $5 to $7 on a daily basis, we're able to power all your appliances and heat your home. Compare that to, you know, a coffee, you know, anywhere nowadays, it's kind of like $5 depending where you're going. You know, depending what you're getting at Starbucks is more than that. You know, Big Mac meal is just under 10. You know, just to think about what, you know, how you can live your life for $5 to $7 a day in the comforts of your home, it's still a very compelling price that we to serve our customers. And I think sometimes people forget how inexpensive it is. And it's also helped power this country in terms of leading, if you will, from an economic standpoint, because nationally we have extremely, even though our prices are below the national average, as a country we still have extremely low electric and natural gas prices. And so that certainly helps industry as well. And I think the other thing is, when you're talking about rate reviews, I think, you know, we've been in business over 100 years, and our kilowatt-hour charge was about 10 cents 100 years ago, and it's about 14 cents today.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it from that perspective, 40% increase when, you know, everyone's talking about eggs these days, you know, eggs can range from anywhere from 800 to over 1,000% increase over 100 years' time. So that's a good way just to think about how inexpensive it is. And again, I also want to acknowledge any increase is tough for many of our customers. And we have 400,000 electric customers, and many are struggling to pay their bills. We understand that. And we're going to do what we can on our end to help those folks, you know, in terms of their payment options and other means to help them. But at the end of the day, we also have to make sure that we are allowed to earn the return, and we should try and earn that return as best we can.
Brian Bird again with us here at Northwestern Energy. It's northwesternenergy.com. CEO, president as well. You look at Northwestern Energy, and Brian, you guys have been concerned about the generation and the amount of energy that you're going to be able to produce. And there's been some restrictions. The White House has kind of changed some policy when it comes to especially coal-fired electricity generation. And one of those main things, and, you know, I looked at the list of coal plants across the country that have applied for these waivers here, and it's not really a permanent waiver. This is like a two-year extension on the new standards that the Environmental Protection Agency has tried to establish. This happened in, under the Biden administration in May, well, just exactly almost 1 year ago. These new national emission standards for mercury and air toxins, and so the president has filed a couple of executive orders that relate to coal-fired electricity, saying because the technology to implement that rule is not available now, that they're going to put that off for 2 years. It was supposed to be, I think, July 8th of 2027 when compliance was supposed to be achieved in that regard. Let's get into that topic here.
Yeah, well, first of all, Tom, I think you've been aware since I've met you years ago, I've been concerned about us having the capacity to even serve our customers, and particularly on the coldest days of the year. And our new Yellowstone County plants helped us this year, and obviously the incremental coal strip that we're taking on in 1126 will continue to help customers there. When the new rules, if you will, came out from the EPA, we were very concerned, particularly around coal strip. Coal strip is currently 99.6 efficient in capturing particulate matters, and the rule changed it to go to 99.8%. And, you know, it seemed to us that that was done just to kind of force coal strip to close. That's how it came across to us. Mm-hmm. And even when the EPA administrator at the time talked about it, he talked more about mercury. I will tell you right now, Montana has a higher mercury standard than the national level, even the new rules. And we've always met the mercury standard, so that's not been the issue. It's been this air toxins. MATS is the MATS rules. It's mercury and air toxins. It's particulate matter. And we're already 99.6 efficient. And to get to 99.8%, the cost that would occur would be about $500 million at least for the whole plant. And now we'll own over 55%. So our 400,000 customers in Montana would have to foot, you know, approximately 55% of a $500 million investment to put a bag house at that. It's an incremental technology to get from 99.6 to 99.8% efficient with particular matters. And from our perspective, we're doing a fantastic job on that already, and that investment shouldn't be necessary to continue to serve our customers. And I think you know, as I've talked about in the past, I just don't want to think about the new coal strip investment that we're taking here in 1126, we have to protect our existing 222 megawatts. And if coal strip were to close, we'd have a really hard time serving our customers. We'd be relying on market purchases if they're there on the coldest days, which can you imagine not being able to serve our customers on the coldest days? If it's even there, it's going to be extremely expensive. And so that's the whole point of trying to take on more coal strip. And it just seems like that there was an effort to try to close that plant by these new rules. Now, I think the new administration, and certainly the president, we appreciate he and EPA Administrator Zeldin looking at it, essentially said, hey, instead of complying to this by 2027, we're exempting your ability. You can continue to use the old rules through 2029. So you get a two-year extension. And our hope is not only will we have 2 years more to comply by 2029, but the existing EPA will look at this rule and say, you know what, is it really worth going from 99.6 to 99.8 and the incremental cost to invest in these plants or to shut them down when we actually need more electricity in the United States? I think that that's what the administration's looking at. Is it worth that incremental investment? And so hopefully they'll look at this and change and actually revert back to the old rule. Which we felt, and again, the plant itself meets certainly the restrictions that were applied from the old EPA rule, and we certainly would like to live with that. But so hopefully they ultimately get there, but not only the president and the new EPA administrator to thank, but our delegation, you know, Senator Daines and she and Representative Zinke and Downing, they supported, they wrote a letter to them, you know, asking for this exempting compliance from 27 to 2029. So we certainly thank them for their help as well. And they understand the impact. If something were to happen to Colstrip, how it would impact not only economically the state, but the lives of Montanans. And so we certainly appreciate their support, and that's where we're quite pleased with the change here from the Biden administration on this issue, or excuse me, from the Trump administration on this issue.
I want to ask about this standard being changed at this point as well. I know felt targeted at Colstrip there as well. This Matt's rule was finalized, you know, in 2012, so it had been effective for a long time. And as I just kind of looked into it here, the EPA based their new 2024 revisions on the fact that the industry was already achieving higher standards when it comes to those toxins. So in essence, I think the industry has understood the message regarding tighter controls on pollution in that regard. And then this transition to what they would say, you know, is a cleaner energy sector. And I think everybody wants that, but we want that transition to just, you know, be walked out and be thoughtful with wisdom behind it, not mandated by, you know, financial concerns or, as we feel in the Biden administration, political concerns and will in that regard. Let's maybe go into that a little bit. I'm going to skip. I'm going to go right to about 9:30, Brian. I already blew past the message, so but this conversation is important for us to understand.
Let's do this, Tom. I think two things. I want to also address your point about technology earlier about the most recent rule talked about commercially available methods. Like carbon capture, and I think I've talked with you about this in the past. I mean, that is not a proven technology. That's commercially available today. Mm-hmm. And for all of these plants to ultimately put in place certain types of devices that aren't commercially available by 2027 just wasn't practical. And I think that's what the president saw and as part of the executive orders. That's the first thing I would say. And I think just longer term, one thing that people need to understand about the industry, and Edison Electric Institute, you can find this on their webpage, but over the last 20 years, emissions have gone down while the loads have gone up. So this industry has done a great job, and I think you know, even Northwestern Energy in Montana, with our owned and contracted resources, is already 60% carbon-free today.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's primarily due that we have hydro and other states, many other states don't. We obviously have a lot of wind, too, and some solar. But, you know, so we as an industry, we as a company are already doing a good job on this issue. But to get to where ultimately the Biden administration wanted us to get to was a bridge too far. And we don't have that technology. And that's one thing we're doing at Colstrip is we're evaluating future technologies to ultimately, when we do shut down Colstrip, let's replace it with something much cleaner. Can we get to nuclear? And we're evaluating that there. Mm-hmm. And if we're required to do something sooner with Colstrip, we're going to probably have to build a natural gas plant, which is certainly cleaner than coal, but it's not all the way there as it would be with nuclear. So we need time, and we need not just technologies that are available, but they have to be commercially available, that our customers can afford them, and reliable. So that takes time. We're not in the chain. This is an industry that it takes time to make changes like that. And so we need time. And we use the phrase here, you know, you can't tear down the old bridge until the new bridge is built. And Colstrip is that bridge we need. And until the new bridge is here, we're going to continue to invest in that plant and have it available to serve our customers reliably and affordably.
Yeah, and when people sort through the political smoke, I think they understand that that's a common sense approach. In fact, the only approach that you can take a thoughtful transition, you know, a step-by-step process. Brian Bird again. So just a couple more minutes, and thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. So what is this potential impact from these new policies? I know it's hard to say, but as you look at, of course, Northwestern Energy serves Montana, some 400,000, but you've got South Dakota, Nebraska customers as well. You're probably close to 750,000 customers all around. What does this energy policy reconfiguration mean for us here in Montana?
Yeah, I think the other thing that comes into play here, you know, there's been some changes in the industry, certainly on the electric side. And when you mentioned 750,000 customers all in, that's both our electric and gas customers in our three states. But, you know, all in, we're seeing a big change now with new loads are growing, going to be growing faster than they have in the past. And I think that the administration's saying, you know, what can we do to facilitate these new loads, and including data centers? And I think the government essentially saying, not only do we want to see new data centers, but we feel that's going to give us competitive advantage on technology on a going forward basis. And so we need to support data centers in the U.S. because if they're not built here, they're going to be built somewhere else. And that is not certainly in line with the U.S. government at this point in time. They want to support that industry, and we want to support it as well in the state as we can. And any new large load customer, we want to be able to serve those customers. So if you're shutting down fossil fuel resources in a period of time when you're going to see rising load, does that make sense? And it, there's a concern that if you're shutting down things, you might not be able to serve your existing customers, let alone be able to continue to develop, have economic development in the state. When you say Montana, one of the things that's kind of bugged me since I've gotten this role is how many times we have to say no. We can't do this because we don't have sufficient capacity on the generation side. We don't have sufficient capacity on transmission. So we need to make investment there to facilitate growth in the state. And so that's what we're trying to do.
I appreciate that. And data centers, and I know there's probably some information coming out about small nuclear reactors, and I know Colstrip, the infrastructure there sort of fits that model. So we'll be talking about that in the near future as well. And in data centers, there's probably going to be a study commission coming out of this legislature to examine them. There's a lot to learn, but I just read a Wall Street article that just echoed exactly what you're saying, is that if we don't have the energy for those centers, that technology, we're gonna fall behind, and we can't afford to do that at this point in time.
Hey, Tom, one thing quick on data centers too. I think there's concern, you know, hey, these big data centers come in, and it's somehow gonna be harmful to customers. Well, I want to just say two things about that. First, I disagree. When typically where they've come in, they've contributed to the tax base, they've added jobs, they've helped from an economic development standpoint. I think, secondly, there's a larger amount. They carry quite a bit of large load, so fixed costs can be spread over their larger load, which should actually help customers. And then, lastly, you know, we and the Montana Public Service Commission, neither one of us want this, adding these new customers. Like, why would we help out one new customer, a data center, and then hurt 400,000 existing electric customers? That doesn't make sense. And so we don't want to do that, and the Montana Public Service Commission can approve tariffs to make sure we don't do that.
Yeah.
So there's protection as being a regulated company from that happening. So we should find a way to support this growth in the state, not scare it away.
Brian, appreciate your thoughts and your comments here coming on the air as well, and then, of course, working in the industry. I'm a fan of energy. I'll say that. That's for sure, because we need it. And some of it comes from a good night's sleep. Others come from the kind of work that you and all your employees do. So thank you, Brian, for coming on today. Appreciate that.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Brian Bird, President and CEO of Northwestern Energy. Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. And join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana, a live issue-oriented talk show heard daily on local stations all across Montana.